Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. This is the live internet broadcast for Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Today is Tuesday, December 13th of 2022. And today we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation. This is Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist, and I'm so excited to share with you the seven plagues prophecy, when it is happening, what it means, and who it will impact. Let's get right into it. So by my analysis, there are 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation has a very unique design. It is set up with many moving parts. It begins with what you might call a preface or an abstract, then it has a formal introduction. Both appear in chapter 1. Chapters 2 and 3 are verbatim words from Jesus Christ, specifically for each of the seven churches that existed in Asia Minor at the time that John the Revelator penned the Book of Revelation based on the instruction that he received from an angel. Chapter 4 is John the Revelator's report of being called to come up to heaven and what he actually saw with his own eyes as he was caught up to heaven. So far we've covered chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, but there are 18 more chapters. And the bulk of the Book of Revelation includes statements of prophecy. And these are important statements of prophecy. Statements of prophecy that focus either exclusively or primarily on the second coming of Jesus Christ and either the events leading up to it or the events following it or both. So when we look at the 18 chapters following chapter 4, those chapters include 12 statements of prophecy, and chapter 22 ends after verse 5. It ends with a formal conclusion. So the book has a formal introduction as well as a formal conclusion and 12 statements of prophecy. In a nutshell, what are they and where does the seven plagues prophecy fit in? The first statement of prophecy is the seven seals prophecy. So this is about the four horsemen, the red horse, the black horse, the white horse, the pale green horse. And then we have the second statement of prophecy, the seven trumpets prophecy. What we tend to hear most people talking about when we look at the seven trumpets prophecy is the report on the activities of the two witnesses during the Great Tribulation. Also, the events of the sixth trumpet war, also referred to as World War III, as well as the seventh trumpet war, which is the Battle of Armageddon. The third statement of prophecy in the Book of Revelation is a report on the 1,260 days of the Great Tribulation and specifically what happens to Israel during that time. The fourth statement of prophecy, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, mirrors that exact same time period, but it instead focuses on what are the instructions for the church during this time. What time is that? That's the period of the Great Tribulation, that 1,260 days, that's 42 months, that's 3.5 years. What are God's instructions for the church at that time. So that appears in verses 9 and 10 of the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And of course, there's discussion of the 10-nation alliance and its mouthpiece, the beast, the Antichrist, as well as the activities, six specific actions that the false prophet will engage in during the Great Tribulation period. The fifth and sixth statements of prophecy, just like the third and fourth statements of prophecy, go hand in hand. So they're about the harvest. They're about people, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, becoming members of the royal race. It's about the earth being harvested, God getting his forever family. So first, in the 144,000 first fruits prophecy in chapter 14, we have a report of when it happens, what does it look like when all Israel is saved? You might recall earlier in the Bible, we're told that once the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, that all Israel will be saved. So when the Bible said or reports that all Israel will be saved, that's exactly what it means. And we see a description of what that is actually going to look like and where it's going to happen. In chapter 14 in the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, that's followed by the earth reaped prophecy. That is the sixth statement of prophecy. That's the bulk of chapter 14. So both of those statements of prophecy go hand in hand. What does it mean for people to transition from either being a disembodied spirit in heaven to being embodied in a glorified body? And what does it mean for people who are in a mortal body on the earth to transition to an immortal body at the time of the harvesting of the wheat? It's referred to as the earth's crop in chapter 14 in the earth reaped prophecy. Now, what about statements of prophecy 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12? Very briefly, today we're going to focus on the seventh statement of prophecy. That's the seven plagues prophecy. This prophecy is so interesting. We often hear about the Great Tribulation, which will be a finite period, a time of great distress, the Bible says, like the world has never seen and like it will never, ever experience again. And it is the wrath of Satan. But what's more important than the wrath of Satan and preparing for it is preparing for the return of God, preparing for the return of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And the wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. And where do we see a report on what happens when the wrath of God is released? We see that with the seven plagues prophecy in chapters 14 and 15 of the book of Revelation. We're going to look at that in great detail today. That prophecy is followed by the eighth statement of prophecy, the purple and scarlet prophecy. What happens during the time of judgment to the harlot church? That's reported in the purple and scarlet prophecy. The ninth statement of prophecy is the marriage supper prophecy, a complete report on the Battle of Armageddon. If you want those details about the Battle of Armageddon, how that will work, a wonderful description of that is provided in the ninth statement of prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy in chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. That's followed by the 10th statement of prophecy, the millennial reign prophecy. What happens during the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ? That statement of prophecy is so incredible, like all of them. And we find out some of the first actions that happen during the government of Jesus Christ, which includes the appointing of judges, the appointing of judges. So if you're unhappy with the court system where you are, maybe if you live in America, you're unhappy with some of the decisions of the Supreme Court, don't get too caught up in it, because we are going to the government of Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. And so in the 10th statement of prophecy, we have a report of some of the first activities that happened in the government of Jesus Christ, which includes the appointing of judges. In the 11th statement of prophecy, we have a report of the second resurrection. Maybe you already know, or perhaps it's your first time hearing, that there will be two resurrections. There's the resurrection to eternal life. That is the rapture, if you will. That's the first resurrection, when all who are in Christ, all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the wheat, the sheep, the good fish, using language from the parables that Jesus used and which appear in the book of Matthew, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life participates in the first resurrection described in the earth reaped prophecy in the book of Revelation in chapter 14. But what about those whose names are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? They too are resurrected. In the millennial reign prophecy, it says that when those who lose their lives during the Great Tribulation live again for 1,000 years, that is a part of what happens to those who participated in the first resurrection. So that language, first resurrection, is used in Revelation chapter 20. Now, why would the adjective first be used unless there's necessarily at least a second? It's because there is a second. And immediately following the millennial reign prophecy, the 11th statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the dead judge prophecy. It's very short. Like the earth reaped prophecy, it's just 5 verses at the end of chapter 20, but it packs a power punch. It's a fantastic description of what happens after the second resurrection, when all who are Team Satan, the bad fish, the goats, the tares, all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are resurrected for the purposes of participating in the great white throne judgment. So the dead are judged. Now, why do we say the dead are judged? That language is used in some of those verses. So again, there are two resurrections. And to experience the first death, the Bible tells us, is just really falling asleep. And why is it just falling asleep? Why is it not a big deal? It's not a big deal because there's perfect continuity of life for every person who has ever existed. When you or I or any human experiences the first death, which is what the Bible refers to as falling asleep, that means that we continue with our same soul, our same mind, will, and emotions. We continue with our same spirit, but we're disembodied. What does that mean? It means that our physical, tangible body is decaying somewhere on this earth or in the sea. We continue as spirit and soul, 2-in-1 instead of 3-in-1. And in the 11th statement of prophecy, every person who is continuing in life as a disembodied spirit in Hades. So Hades is a storage tank. So I love the way the prophet Randy Chandler refers to heaven as a storage tank, and it is. If you have ever heard Randy Alcorn, who has a wonderful book on heaven, he has another analogy which is useful to consider as well. He talks about heaven as a layover. So in other words, I heard him on one talk give this example. You're on your way to a destination, and I'm just going to say you're on your way to New York, but you have a layover in D.C., so you're in the airport in D.C., and maybe your layover is for 12 hours. But D.C. is not where you're going to. It's where you are temporarily. In the same way, heaven is storing. It's a place where disembodied spirits are resting. The Bible says that we rest from our labors when we go to heaven. And why do you say, research scientists, how in the world are you saying it's temporary? The reason that heaven is a temporary location is because the Bible tells us in the 12th and final statement of prophecy that every person who is in heaven is coming back with Jesus Christ. And they're coming back better than they've ever been. What does that mean? They're coming back in a peak performance body. The Bible refers to it as a glorified body, a perfected body, an incorruptible body, an immortal body. And we're also told that it will happen in the blink of an eye. We're told in 1 Corinthians that we must transition from mortality to immortality. And in fact, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will. In that 12th and final statement of prophecy, the New Earth prophecy, is a report of what happens after the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ, after the five enemies of God have been destroyed. And very briefly, because we're going to talk about the seven plagues prophecy today, we get a description of how we're going to get a new earth, what the new earth is going to look like, the fact that all the saints will have the mark of God on our foreheads. The mark of the beast is a counterfeit. The true mark goes on the forehead, and it has the name of our God and the name of the city of our God. It tells us that in the seven words for seven churches in the book of Revelation and in the new earth prophecy. In chapter 22, I believe it's verse 4. So there's so much to say. I'm so excited about all the statements of prophecy. But today, let us focus on the seven plagues prophecy. So this is important. Let's begin with getting a little bit of context. So there is judgment coming. Let's talk about what the book of Revelation says about judgment. So judgment is coming upon three things: the clusters of grapes, the great prostitute, and Babylon, the great city. So this judgment, these judgments are described in the earth reaped prophecy, the seven plagues prophecy, and the purple and scarlet prophecy. Also, Judgment Day. What is Judgment Day? In the seven plagues prophecy we're going to hear today, you'll see that Judgment Day is described as the Battle of Armageddon. Interestingly, the Great White Throne Judgment happens after Judgment Day. Let's make sure we're not confused. Two key points I want to make. Judgment is coming upon all those who are among the clusters of grapes. So those are the people who have the mark of the beast and who will be fighting in the armies of the 10-nation alliance led by the Antichrist. Judgment is also coming upon Babylon, the great city. Judgment is also coming upon the great prostitute. These are described in a purple and scarlet prophecy. And in addition, there's Judgment Day, which is the Battle of Armageddon. So part of the events around judgment include not only specifically what happens at the Battle of Armageddon, but also what happens to Babylon, the great city, what happens to the great prostitute, and what happens to those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life at the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay, so what's the take-home point? When we talk about judgment, it's not a singular event. Judgment, the judgment of God involves several important events. And one of those important events is the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to hear today the seven plagues prophecy, and let's begin with the end and then arrive at it. So what's the end? What's the end of the wrath of God as described in the seven plagues prophecy? It is the Battle of Armageddon. So when you look at the seven plagues prophecy, you see that it culminates with the Battle of Armageddon, and verse 20 of chapter 15 coincides with the same content described in the seven trumpets prophecy with respect to what happens after the angel blows the seventh trumpet in Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, let me give you that exact scripture, verse 19. Okay, let us go straight to the seven plagues prophecy. Every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation has two parts. It has its own movie trailer in words, and when professional writers use terminology to describe that, it's called an abstract. So every statement of prophecy begins with its own movie trailer, and then it's followed by the movie in its entirety, in words, of course. So we could also refer to that as the full report. So let's hear the movie trailer for the seven plagues prophecy. It includes verses 1 to 8 of chapter 15. Let's start there. So if you were going to hear briefly, what are the highlights? What are the key conflicts? What are the takeaway points from the perspective of God with respect to the wrath of God? Here it is, reading from the New Living Translation. Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. Then, oh, let's pause there. That is the end of the movie trailer. Verse 8 of chapter 15. So we heard a lot of interesting things. Highlights. Seven angels are involved with the seven last plagues. The seven plagues bring to completion God's wrath. John the Revelator sees the saints who rejected the mark of the beast, the saints whose lives ended in victory, they are victorious over the beast and the statue. So John sees them, and he sees them singing, and then he's shown that the seven angels are holding the seven plagues, and finally we're told that no one is allowed to enter the temple in heaven until the angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. So that's a very exciting movie trailer in words. Now, the details. So here's where it's important to understand the layout, the geography, if you will, for the book of Revelation. When you know that you're looking at the movie trailer in words before the movie, then you're not confused when after the movie trailer in words, the abstract, you're not confused when after you've read the abstract, you see a repeat of some of that same information in the full report, because you understand that a movie trailer is a snapshot of a movie, right? An abstract is a brief summary. It's a snapshot of a full report. And so now, although we heard many interesting things about the seven plagues and some details, there are more details that we can know. And we go immediately after the movie trailer and words to reading the full report, and we aren't going to be confused. We know that we're starting over. We know that when we go to the full report, it's not a continuity. It's not a chronological continuity, if you will. It's continuity with staying with the same topic, but going back. Now we get the full report from the perspective of the writer. Okay, so let's hear the full report for the seven plagues prophecy. It begins with verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. It's chapter 16 in its entirety. So what are we going to hear? We're going to hear the details, the full report of the seven plagues. Specifically, what are each of these seven plagues and how are they poured out and what happens when they're poured out? So that's what we're going to hear now, because we're going again beyond the movie trailer in words to the full movie. Okay, so here it is, reading from the New Living Translation, the seven plagues prophecy. Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath." So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all waters saying, "You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward." And I heard a voice from the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, "It is finished." Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. That is the end of the seven plagues prophecy. And so, working in reverse order, what are the seven final plagues? The seventh final plague includes several events, including but not limited to the Battle of Armageddon. So we see that when the seventh angel pours out his plague, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's a great earthquake. The great city Babylon splits into three sections. We also see that islands disappear in that area, that mountains are leveled in that area. There's also a terrible hailstorm. And importantly, it says that when these things happen to the people below, they curse God because of the terrible plague. Now think about this. Do believers curse God? No, certainly not. And so we see that this seventh and final plague, who is impacted negatively? Is it the people of God? Absolutely not. So we are appointed to wrath. And when we look at these seven plagues, we'll see that the wrath of God, the wrath of God is experienced by the Antichrist and those who have the mark of the beast and those who fail to participate in the marriage of the Lamb. So the marriage supper happens after the marriage. The marriage supper is the battle of Armageddon. So the seventh plague includes the Battle of Armageddon. The sixth plague is the supernatural drying up of the river Euphrates. Now, if you look at reports today, there's a dam that's been built that allows them to control water flow in a certain part of that river. And there are other activities where people are saying that what is happening with it reflects what they believe aligns with the book of Revelation with respect to the Euphrates River drying up. But let's be clear. In the seven plagues prophecy, the river Euphrates is completely dried up, and it happens supernaturally. When? It doesn't happen supernaturally in 2022 or in 1987 or on some other date. It happens when the sixth angel pours out his plague. And for what purpose? It happens so that the enemies of Israel, who are therefore the enemies of God, so that they can travel a specific path leading them to the appointed place where the armies of heaven, led by Jesus Christ, as described in the marriage supper prophecy in chapter 19, they're going to travel the dried up River Euphrates trajectory, leading them right to the plains of Megiddo, leading them to where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought and won by Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven. So the sixth plague is a supernatural drying up of the Euphrates River. The fifth plague, I like to think of this one as a clarion call. It's God announcing to Satan, it's showtime. Lights out, your power is being taken away. Power down, if you will. So what's the fifth and final plague? We heard that the physical location where the Antichrist rules and reigns from during the Great Tribulation, that physical location of his throne, presumably it's somewhere in Europe. That's where the 10-nation alliance described in Revelation 13 and the 666 Antichrist prophecy, as well as Daniel chapter 7, it'll be somewhere, presumably, in Europe. We're not told here in the book of Revelation, in the seven plagues prophecy, but wherever his throne is, he gets a blackout. God supernaturally causes a blackout. You need power to power your weapon systems, power your computers, to power your homes, power all kinds of things. We need power. So imagine the chaos that will emerge when the greatest leader on the earth at that time is not able to operate due to a blackout. Now, let's talk about the fourth of the seven final plagues. This impacts those who will not repent of their sins, those who will not turn to God, those who will not give him glory. How do we know that? It says, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Now, who's everyone? This is such an important question for us to consider. Let's hear verse 9, which tells us who everyone is. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. So it says everyone cursed the name of God. So do those whose name, do those whose names are written, do the wheat repent of their sins? Yes. It says here they did not repent of their sins. Now, what about the wheat? Do the wheat give God glory and turn to God? Certainly. But it says here, they did not turn to God and give him glory. So, the fourth and final plague, who does it impact? Everyone who did not repent of their sins and who did not turn to God and who did not give him glory. And it's when the sun is supernaturally endowed with the power to scorch everyone with fire, and in fact does so. What kind of fire? Its own fire. So it's fire coming from the intense heat of the sun. plagues 2 and 3 have to do with water turning to blood. And we're told that because they have shed the blood of God's holy people and his prophets, that God is going to give them blood to drink. In the third plague, the fresh water, the rivers and springs turn to blood. And in the second plague, the sea, the salt water turns to blood. So first, it starts with the sea, that's the salt water. Then it escalates to the fresh waters, including both rivers and springs turning to blood. Of course, the first plague, I'd like us to consider how the first and fourth plague work together. The first plague is malignant sores. So malignant means something that causes cancer. That's a bad thing, right? It's a very bad thing. So the opposite of malignant is benign. So if you go to the doctor and say, oh, you have a tumor, we've got to do a biopsy, and then it comes back, oh, it's benign. That means it's not harmful. It's not malignant. So if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, bad news, your tumor, turns out it's malignant. Now, some people will say, well, God is a God of love. God doesn't hurt people. Well, it says right here that the first plague causes malignant tumors to come. And who do they come to? It's the same as the fourth plague. It says everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. Before you said everyone who failed to repent, everyone who would not turn to God, everyone who didn't give him glory. That's the same everyone who has taken the mark of the beast. That's the same everyone who is worshiping the statue of the beast during the Great Tribulation period. So this same everyone has some specific things that impact them. What are those things? The first of the seven plagues, horrible malignant sores that break out, and the fourth plague, burning by this blast of heat, scorching everyone with its fire. So the first and fourth plagues impact those who refuse to repent, those who refuse to turn to God, those who have the mark of the beast, those who have worshipped the statue, his statue. Whose statue? The beast statue. The second and third plagues give to those people who shed the blood of God's holy people and his prophets blood for them to drink. The fifth plague is an announcement to the Antichrist. Almost time for lights out. Did you know that the Antichrist and false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire in the outer darkness at the Battle of Armageddon, which they lose? And so when the power goes out and the physical location where the Antichrist is ruling and reigning, that will be the signal that the end is very near. The sixth plague is a further ramping up. Ramping up to what? The Battle of Armageddon. The seventh and final plague includes, but is not limited to, the Battle of Armageddon. And so we have heard the seven plagues prophecy. It is included in the book of Revelation in chapters and 16. The seventh and final plague includes the Battle of Armageddon. A full report of the Battle of Armageddon is provided in Revelation chapter 19 in the marriage supper prophecy. A full report of what happens to judgment with respect to Babylon Babylon, the great city, is in the purple and scarlet prophecy, which precedes the marriage supper prophecy in chapters 17 and 18. And so I want to invite you to share your questions with us. You can do that live right now during the internet broadcast. The PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. You can also text in your question about the Book of Revelation, or maybe you have a comment that you'd like to make about the Book of Revelation. Perhaps you have a prayer request. You can do that too, 24/7. The PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. Friend, before we go, I want to do two things. Number one, I want to pray for you according to the Book of Revelation. Also, I want to give you a preview of how we're going to go from start to finish with the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation during the live internet broadcast right here on PGN Prophetic Grace Network. And you can go to blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic, and you can get the study notes that accompany every talk, every discussion that we have for this program. So I encourage you and invite you to do that. You want to see those scriptures, the keywords, specifically where is the abstract and where is the full report for this statement of prophecy. It's all there in the one-page basic study notes. So I encourage you to do that. Go to blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic, and then you go to the link for the specific date of this show. So today is Tuesday, December 13th of 2022. So when you go in the archives, if you're not listening live, when you go to the archives, you look for that date. If you're listening live, it'll be that first show right there at the top, and on the second slide are the one-page basic study notes. So what's coming up for us in 2023? At the end of 2023, in December, we'll be talking about the New Earth prophecy. But before then, in November, we're going to spend the entire month of November talking about the Great White Throne Judgment, which is described in the Dead Judge prophecy. And before that, we're going to talk about the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So in October of next year, every broadcast will focus on the millennial reign prophecy. In September, we'll be talking about the marriage supper prophecy, the Battle of Armageddon. And in August, for the first time ever on PGN, in August of 2023, we'll be talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy. If you are curious about who is the harlot church and what is Mystery Babylon, we're going to be talking about that, not talking about opinions, but talking Bible. What does the Bible say? That'll be very exciting. It'll be our first time talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy here on PGN. So please plan to join us. Every program in August will focus on the purple and scarlet prophecy. Before then, next July, we'll be revisiting the seven plagues prophecy. And in June, we'll be talking about the first resurrection. What happens at the first resurrection as described in the Book of Revelation? And in May, we'll be talking about what happens when all Israel is saved. So the Bible says all Israel will be saved after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And then in the Book of Revelation, we have a report of that. Well, what is it? It's the 144,000. The 144,000, and where are they standing? You guessed it. They're standing in Israel on Mount Zion. Why? Because after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, all Israel will be saved. How many will there be? How many will there be? 144,000. So we'll be talking about that in May of 2023. Who are the 144,000 and how will that work? We talked about that earlier this year. If you didn't have a chance to listen, I encourage you to go back to our PGN archives. We talked about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. Lots of great discussion and analysis of that. And we'll be doing it again, brand new talks and discussion and analysis in May of 2023. In April of next year, just like we did in September of this year, but in April of 2023, we will be talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And for the first time ever, I'm announcing this. I've never announced this before. I will be sharing what God showed me in the Bible about how to derive the number 666 as it relates to the name of the Antichrist connected to a specific scripture. It's just incredible. We're going to be talking about that in April of 2023. And also, we'll be talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. What are the six specific actions of the false prophet during the Great Tribulation? The Antichrist? Who is the dragon? What are some of the known nations in the Ten Nation Alliance? We're going to be getting into all of that in great detail in April of 2023. Before then, in March, we're going to talk about the 1,260 days prophecy. So how did this whole thing start? What's this whole thing? Satan wanting to take out God. And what happens during the Great Tribulation to Israel? And what about when Satan is thrown out of heaven? All that is in the 1,260 days prophecy. We'll be talking about that in March of 2023. In February of next year, in about 6 weeks, we'll be talking about the seven trumpets prophecy. Have you heard talk about World War III being in the Bible? It is. It is. It's the events following the sounding of the sixth trumpet. And according to the book of Revelation, a third of mankind will perish regretfully. Unfortunately and horribly, we need to know about that. When is that going to happen, and who will it involve, and what does it mean? So we'll be talking about the seven trumpets prophecy in the book of Revelation in February of 2023. In January of next year, so in just 3 weeks from today, we're going to begin with the first statement of prophecy. So you just heard I went from the end to the beginning. We're going to go from start to finish with all the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, beginning with the seven seals prophecy. So we'll be talking about the black horse, the white horse, the red horse, and the pale green horse. We'll be talking about the seven seals prophecy. The 144,000 are also mentioned in the seven seals prophecy. We'll be talking about that for the first time ever here on PGN. We'll be talking about this important statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It's the first statement of prophecy. So we're going to start off the new year talking about this awesome statement of prophecy. I want to ask you to consider putting on your calendar a date and time for you to join us once or maybe twice a week so that you can hear over and over again, but with new discussion and analyses, these statements of prophecy. So as you know, the Bible has so much information. How do you get that into your long-term memory so that when you need that information, it's available to you on demand? In other words, you can remember what you need to remember when you need to remember it. Their learning experts tell us we need seven experiences, seven meaningful experiences with some piece of information in order to be able to do that. So what does that look like with respect to getting these statements of prophecy, knowing what they are and where they are in the book of Revelation and what they mean? It looks like if you listen to the podcast or the live broadcast of this program seven times each month, because every month we're talking about the same statement of prophecy. If you can give God that time, if you can give him that time listening specifically to the book of Revelation, you will relatively easily, without significant mental effort, you will be able to know, understand, and recall the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Know, understand, and remember. Know, understand, and remember the book of Revelation by participating with us here at PGN. It's never a waste of your time to hear the book of Revelation. So friend and truth seeker, let me share what the Bible says about you giving time to hearing the book of Revelation. It says in verse 3 of chapter 1, blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. So, truth seeker, I declare and decree that you are blessed. You are happy and to be envied because you have heard the prophecies of the book of Revelation read today, and I pray that you keep yourself true to the things which are written in the prophecies of the book of Revelation. I pray that you heed them and that you lay them to heart. For the Bible tells us the time for them to be fulfilled is near. So thank you so much for being with me and being with us today. And I encourage you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God and he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.